Mountain West Media Summit tomorrow and Wednesday down in Las Vegas. A couple of interviews tomorrow I want to let you know about. Jeff Tedford, new coach at Fresno State, formerly at Cal, then took a hiatus between the two jobs, will join Caves and I live tomorrow at 1:30. And then Rocky Long, San Diego State coach, will join us at this time tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So the West Division goes tomorrow and the Mountain Division goes Wednesday.
Is Rocky Long still provocative?
Does he still get the people going? I like him. Yes, yes.
You said you like him.
I like him. I like talking to Rocky. He's fun.
Yeah.
He'll say something. He doesn't care.
I don't know if a lot of Boise State fans, they might think he's entertaining or something. They don't like him, though. That's another thing
okay.
to say. They
All
like
right.
him.
I'm looking most forward tomorrow to talking to Jeff Tedford because I remember him being pretty successful at Cal and find out, you know, why back at Fresno State. I know he's an alum. And then in the mountainside, Mike Bobo of Colorado State. I want to know what his thoughts on the new stadium. A lot of people think his team is the team that's going to give Boise State the biggest run for the money. And then I'm looking forward to the players. I want to meet Josh Allen from Wyoming. Looking forward to talking to him on Wednesday.
I mean, he's just the next John Elway already.
Right.
So he doesn't really even need to be here, right? He's an NFL superstar. Why is the NFL superstar even at Mountain West Media Day? Why does he need to play the season? You should just hold out. Number one pick in the draft without even playing this year. It's a lock if you believe what you hear. So I want to hear how he justifies the hype that he's getting, how he's dealing with it. I know that'll be a storyline. Now, you've been to a bunch of these. There's almost a couple of different ways you can go into it. You can try to either take the strategy of laying low, right? Just not trying to say anything.
I mean, you're talking about the teams, not me.
The teams, yeah. The strategy is, all right, let's just go into this with the goal of getting out of this without anything coming up. Let's run through our cliches and just try to stay out of trouble. And then there's the people, and usually it's more coaches because they're established and have some credibility, where they can try to be a little bit bold, try to be a little bit more outrageous, and maybe call it the Steve Spurrier playbook of media days, where you say something to get a headline.
And there may be two reasons why you're doing it. One might be because you want your players to believe that you have confidence in them. That's on the team side.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I can think of some cases where I want, if I'm trying to sell tickets and I've got some tickets left over to be sold, I want my coach to be bold and confident because that's going to move some tickets.
Yeah. If you are confident and you express it in a certain way, you can certainly generate interest coming up for the season that will start in about a month, or at least the gathering process where it will start in about a month, and a game a little bit after that. So with all that being said, in the Mountain West, is there anything that you can learn from media days, or do you go into it every time you're unchanged coming out of it of who you think is going to be good? Like, is there anything coaches say in this conference, other conferences that you've done, where you come out of it thinking, oh, wait, maybe I was underrating that team, or maybe I didn't look at it the way that they explained it to me?
I don't think there's all that much because nobody's really going to be saying things that are going to really make you think a 180 different from the team. Like, I don't think San Jose State has a chance to win the league. And that guy, Brennan, the new coach, could go down there and say, we're going to be great, we're not going to lose a game, blah, blah, blah. And he's not going to change my mind on what they've got. Now, maybe somebody that's in the middle, maybe a Wyoming, maybe a Colorado State, I don't know, maybe you get a little bit different feel. But I don't know that anything's going to get said. I think for me, the things I take from it is I'm going to have something that one of the players is going to say that I'm going to jot down and remember when we play them and use that in the broadcast.
Gotcha.
So I'm using some nuggets, getting to know. I mean, that's what I'm looking for myself down there.
So he's selfish.
I'm selfish, absolutely. Just like look at my accommodations last year, right? I was selfish.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to remember that. You got Jeff Caves, well done with the documenting of the upgrade of Bob
right.
Buehler's
Well,
room
Caves
to the
runs
suite.
Right in front of me because he didn't want to carry in the stuff, and he goes to the front of the line. Well, the last regular room was given out. Caves got it.
And it just left this guy in a Boise State polo right behind him, the baller suite of the Cosmopolitan,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So you were able to take advantage of that. Now, I know the year before, you and Jeff were completely unprepared, and you guys were smacking on some brownies
right.
when you guys came back from an interview, and all of a sudden I hear lip smacking, and then like somebody hustling to a mic and putting on a headset. Welcome back. And it's just, I mean, come on, man.
That was bad.
Professional.
That was bad.
Here.
But the brownies were good.
Will they be just as good in 2017? So, all right, I'm looking at a list of the West predicted order of finish, according to one Bob Beeler.
Okay.
San Diego State, number one. I would question anybody's ballot in this conference that doesn't have San Diego State, number one.
I don't know how many voters are going to be at this thing, but let's say there are 50. Because it's not like at the postseason when they have two media members and a head coach. So there's only three per market. If you go, you get a ballot. So sometimes Boise State gets helped a little because there are more media members that come from Boise than some of the other towns. But I'll be shocked if anybody other than San Diego State gets a vote.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was just wondering how you decided 2 through 6.
Hawaii had the best year last year of these other teams. They made a bowl game. They've got a coach that seems like in his second year things are kind of improving a little bit. They have a returning starter. New coach at Nevada, new coach at Fresno, new coach at San Jose, and UNLV hasn't done a whole lot under Sanchez. I think I had Hawaii pretty easily, in my opinion, is 2.
All right, you had Nevada 3, UNLV 4.
Then after that, it was a lot like, ooh, pick numbers out of a hat.
Fresno 5, San Jose 6. So going back to how I set this up, if you're going into it with this predicted order of finish,
mm-hmm.
could you come out of it with a different predicted order of finish? Depending on what you heard?
Yes. If I heard, like, a couple of players for Hawaii were either thrown off the team or were hurt.
So news things.
News things that were permanent and real.
Yeah.
And real. Like, somebody decided, like James Butler from the running back, the 1,000-yard running back at Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
I might have considered them for 2, but then when I heard he was going to be a grad transfer and leave, I'm like, ooh, that's not good. So I moved him to 3.
Gotcha. But nothing like, oh, we've had a great offseason, or maybe a difference in training, like nothing that you hear coach speak wise, or even an impressive player or two who really sound like they're primed for a big year. Like, that's not going to change you?
Well, I'm going to give you just something going back on my all-conference ballot.
Okay.
I only go on past performance for my preseason. And the reason is if I look for people that I think might be good, I think my ballot becomes too Boise State heavy. Because I know that Leighton Vander Esch is going to be really good, and I think he'll probably be an all-conference linebacker this year. But I did not vote him one of my 3 because I don't think it's fair to the process, because I don't know the people coming up for the other 11 teams in the league, the people that haven't played that much. So I think I'm a little guarded, and maybe I'm also a little worried that, boy, I look like a homer if I put a lot of Boise State people on the ballot.
What's wrong with being a homer sometimes? Mm-hmm. Well, so with that same attitude, right, you would have to have Rippon ahead of Allen. Because
I do have Rippon ahead of Allen.
If you're going based on accomplishments and not projection, Rippon is a more accomplished quarterback in the Mountain West than
Absolutely.
Allen is.
Absolutely. And Gallup and Cedric Wilson, to me, have the 2 best statistics receivers coming back. I have them as my 2 receivers. I like Alexander Mattison. And if Madison is in the discussion at the end of the season for all-conference back, Boise State's had a very good year. But based on what they've done, I've got Penny of San Diego State and Owens of New Mexico as my running backs.
Yeah, and Madison could very well be in there because the touchdowns you think will be there. And if you're a feature back on a Boise State offense, you're going to have the stats.
But he needs to be there if Boise State's going to be good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, of course, is health, too. I need him to be healthy enough to get that many carries.
Now, on the Mountain side, I picked Boise State. And I know Dave Southern wrote a column saying that he did not pick Boise State. Everybody's trying to get on this Colorado State bandwagon. I know they did okay last year, but I still want to see some of it. Boise State has one handicap. In my opinion, if they want to go to the Mountain West Championship, they need to beat both Colorado State and Wyoming head-to-head. Because they need the tiebreaker over both of them, which is something they did not have last year. They lost the tiebreaker to Wyoming. Because neither the Rams or the Cowboys tangle with San Diego State in the offseason. And I think San Diego State is far better than anybody else in the Western Division. So if Boise State goes down to San Diego State and gets beat, that would be one loss. The other two probably can run the table, and then they'll have a 1-game lead on the out-of-division games. So you're going to have to beat both of them to pin a loss to them and also to avoid a tiebreaker.
Yeah, I can see that. It's just the Boise State trend of having that one game where just turnovers kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And does that matter the opponent, or does it just, like, could that be against anybody? Like, even going, like, Air Force was, what, a few
with
years
the seven
ago?
Seven turnovers. You turn the ball over State, 7 times, you're going to lose to whoever.
That's the thing. But, like, is there a correlation between that team being really good and, or at least Mountain West standards being good? And really, the answer to that question is no, because Utah State wasn't great the year that
they Boise were great State, until that point.
Yeah, but
then
after
they went
that,
the tank
they
after
got
that.
Destroyed in the
yeah.
conference.
They went 2-5, I think, the rest yeah. of the year.
So it's not like that was a sign of, oh man, this Utah State team is a stacked bunch. And like Wyoming last year, is that considered one of the turnover games? I mean, they had big turnovers in that game. BYU was the turnover game where they committed all the turnovers and still happened to win against BYU, which I'm still trying to figure that one out. Maybe I still need to rewatch that game. How did they win when they threw all those interceptions? But if that turnover game happens against Colorado State or Wyoming, it's a more costly game than if it happens against Air Force, although
or
Air Force could be there.
Non-conference game.
Yeah, or non-conference. So if the hiccup happens, hope it happens against a team that isn't near the top of the division.